Well, sir, your friend says you shot him with an arrow.
No, my friend opened a booby-trapped chest that had a magic missile, booby-trapped set by goblin sappers. That is what hit him.
The booby-trap, which was you.
No, he was trying to show me that he could duck out of the way of an arrow.
He's trying to explain.
Of an arrow, and I had to show him that a longbow at close range with a magic missile enchantment on it, there's no way to duck out of the way.
So you rolled an 18, and then what happened?
I rolled an 18. He failed his saving throw, and then the arrow got in between where the Grieve and Josh.
Oh, well, there's only the 3 points of protection.
And then, of course,
our
cleric.
I got about 10 points if I want to beat you with a stick left, okay? I got about 10 points of that.
You don't know anything about Dungeons and Dragons. I live in a world of cold steel and dungeons.
Welcome to my world, people.
I am on a drug. It's called Charlie Sheen.
The world full of microphones and dining rooms.
Boom.
This is the Air Raid Podcast. Welcome, welcome. Thanks for checking in with us here on part two of our Emerald City Comic Con coverage. It's now a week since the Comic Con ended. I'm your host, Aaron Roden.
Philip T. Dick. It can't be.
And this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome into your ear holes. So glad to have you here with me today. It is, we're posting this episode a week after the Comic-Con has ended. And I think I am having Comic-Con convention withdrawals.
Are you off your fucking meds or something?
Going through a very rough time in my life right now. I feel as if nothing is important anymore. I feel like I have no direction to go. I have nowhere to go. There's nobody in costume walking around, except for the prostitutes in my neighborhood.
I loved a woman who wasn't clean.
I just want to roll up in a ball, curl up in a ball, and just cry. Just cry to myself. But I'm not going to. You know why? Because I have obligations to you, the listener of the Air Raid Podcast.
Oh, yeah, I like this idea.
Oh, man, it's been a really long week. It's been a really long week. We have a great show planned for you today. We recorded this last week, the second part of the Emerald City Comic Con coverage, with your favorite guest hosts, Will Campbell and Andrew Moore. Andrew did another excellent interview with a woman by the name of Elizabeth Gazzetti, and very, very cool artist, so you'll want to stick around and check that one out. I did a great interview with the Suicide Girls, who many of you probably know as kind of the punk rock burlesque, I would call it pornography. I mean, it's, you know, it's these girls are nude in the pictures. And it was really interesting to get to talk to them. We'll get to all that here shortly, because it's all pre-recorded and ready to go here. First of all, I would like to say I had the honor of going on Sean DeTore's mixtape yesterday and just had an absolute ball with the guy. I love that guy. He is so nice, and he really knows what he's doing. And if you haven't heard Sean DeTore's mixtape podcast, you probably should, because he puts a lot of new music up there. And it's kind of cool, too, because he works for KIRO 97.3 FM as an audio engineer. And so he gets to use all this, like, professional audio equipment. So it was a huge treat for me to go to the Cairo Studios and record some songs. I played some music on his show, and just had a great time with the guy. Brought some whiskey, and we really did it up. And I think we kind of got off topic a little bit. So It'll be interesting to hear how much of our conversation he edits out. Because, yeah, there was a lot of just nonsensical conversation going on at the Cairo studios yesterday. But still, had a great time, and you guys should check it out. Sean DeTore's mixtape podcast. You can find that on iTunes. You can also go to mynorthwest.com and look it up there. Gosh, I was going to say one more thing. Oh, yeah. After last week's episode, I received an email from a man by the name of Martin. And he did not like what we had to say, or what I had to say in particular about the Comic-Con. And I'm thinking that maybe Martin didn't listen to the whole episode. He may have just kind of heard the part where I called everybody geeks and nerds. That was not my intention to say bad things about people. I thought I was just kind of stating something that everybody kind of knew already. And, you know, I really kind of consider myself a geek and a nerd. I'm very into video games. I was very into comic books. I still am a collector of Star Wars memorabilia, which is a little bit embarrassing. But yeah, I'm a pretty big nerd myself, and had a great time at the Comic-Con. And Martin, if you are still listening, please, sir, I am not a insensitive, I'm quoting now, I am not a insensitive jock prick who just doesn't get it, my friend. I am a person who is into that stuff, but likes to speak my mind. So, I apologize to anybody who took that the wrong way, I guess it's just to be expected, right? If you have listeners to a show, some people aren't going to like what you have to say. So whatever. Anyway, Martin, you do not have to listen to this show. This is not law yet. We are working on that, but as of right now, it is not the law to listen to this show. But like I said, we're working on it. We're going to the Supreme Court, people. Anyway, let's get this potty started here, and hear the part two of the Emerald City Comic Con. Little disclaimer: we were very, very tired at the point that we recorded this episode. So I apologize if stuff starts not making sense a little bit later on, but please listen to the whole thing because we got some great interviews with some really cool people. The Suicide Girls and Elizabeth Gazzetti, two very interesting interviews. So check those out. Of course, remember, you can find us at iTunes, Zune Marketplace, Stitcher Radio at Stitcher.com, which is a great app for your smartphones as well. All over the place, man. Facebook. Friend us on Facebook. And if you don't, we're going to have Martin send you hate mail. There we go. Enough plugs. Let's get into this. We'll see you in a little bit. All right, so Saturday at the Comic-Con.
Are we talking again?
Yeah, we're talking. We're talking. Can't you hear me talking right now?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I try to be as professional as possible.
Yeah, and we're doing this in real time. Yeah. Right, so, yeah. What were you guys' first impressions of today? I mean, there were a shit ton more people.
Is that a standardized unit of measure?
Yeah. They actually use it. I think it's part of the metric system. They use it up in Canada.
I always thought that was part of the Kimber measurement system.
The shit ton. Yeah. But there were a lot more people.
There was very intense,
massive amount of people today. Even from the start. I mean, we had that. So we got invited to go to a press breakfast this morning for Boom Studios, which is a publisher that had a very large booth at Comic-Con. Also, had some really cool stuff. They got this zombie comic book that I bought today called Zombie Tales. Which I have yet to read, but it looks pretty good. Anyway, that's kind of beside the point. So the press breakfast was at 9 o'clock this morning. And I went down there, and it was in the Sheraton Hotel down
in downtown Seattle and went up to this, I mean, really nice suite up on the 26th floor, and it had this, like, conference room in there and stuff, and got to meet some of these big-wig comic guys and some of the other press that were there. And they told this story about Norman Reedus from The Walking Dead, who basically had this entourage of suicide girls that was following him around all night. And some of these press guys took Norman and the suicide girls out and got them very, very drunk. And then they made their way back to the Boom Studios hotel room and actually eventually got kicked out, apparently, of the hotel room, which I thought was kind of funny. Because I think, like, Norman tried to smoke, like, a cigarette up there or something, you know? But, yeah, anyway, I mean, there was a lot of... It was much more crazy. Yeah, where was I going with that story?
You told this story this morning, and it was lame then.
Yeah.
And it's still lame. It's still lame.
The story is... It's lost details as it's gone on. So it's not as it doesn't have.
I was
much.
Like,
well, thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah,
actually, yeah,
I just
yeah. yeah. Don't start a puke where
my
you can't
God,
finish, my
he's
friend.
Tried to smoke a cigarette indoors.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I was trying to
embellish. Embellish.
I know.
You need to
yeah.
embellish.
Yeah. Well, apparently, like, the suicide girls started taking their pants off at some point.
well, that's an embellishment.
Actually, that was true. That was just something I left out, I guess. But, yeah.
See, there's one of those details.
yeah, yeah. Something I could have said earlier that would have made the story better. I don't even know why. I just shot into that story for some reason. Like, there was no point into going into that story right then. But yeah, it was. There were a lot more people there today. A lot of costumes there today. We got a ton of pictures, and please go visit our Facebook page because all the pictures are up there. We got some pictures that Andrew and his wife Alyssa took, and Mr. Will Campbell took also. Lots of really cool costumes, and I think it was more because, like, I mean, today was not a work day for most people. You know, most people can get a Saturday off. And then they had this, like, big costume contest.
Well, also, William Shatner is only appearing on Saturday.
Right, right.
John Noble wasn't appearing yesterday from Fringe. I think he's there tomorrow, though, too. But
right, right.
You know, it's just more...
More enthusiasm, more people
around. Yeah, more time in the day to get things done. But, I mean, God, it was super hard to get around today. Super hard to get around.
Yes.
Yeah. What were some of your favorite costumes you saw today, Andrew?
There was the a group of people dressed up like the characters from the Resident Evil video games.
Right.
I can name the characters if you want. Albert Wesker and Chris Redfield and Jill Valentine and Barry and just basically the Raccoon Police Department. Dark Helmet from Spaceballs was a good one.
That was one of my favorites because you normally don't see any Spaceballs costumes.
Yeah, you know there was a Barf costume last year.
Oh, was there?
That'd be perfect.
Who else? There was like a couple Ghostbusters walking around.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there was a Ghostbuster that was walking around with Dark Helmet
that's
today.
True.
Yeah.
Asian Scholar
which
and
is
Moldy.
Kind of funny. The
and
Rick Moranis connection, right?
Right, totally.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Lewis.
Yeah. who could barely carry the the backpack?
you know, and there was. It's interesting what is popular at the moment. You
dude,
know, like
Poison Ivy.
Tons of Poison Ivy.
Oh my God.
The Black Cat from Marvel Comics. I saw about three or four of her.
Uh huh.
I saw there was three Rogues from X-Men, but then, you know, there's always...
varying dates, too, right?
There was, like, an 80s era Rogue, and but there's always at least 25 Jokers. I mean, it's just, like, a given.
Yeah.
And then, you know, about the same amount of Harley Quinns.
That's true.
Know?
Yeah.
And,
yeah. And their girlfriend dresses up as
right. And there was some good X-Men costumes that I'm always partial to X-Men. So, and
right,
I saw somebody dressed up as Jubilee, and I was trying to get a. And then there's the 501st who have the best costumes ever.
Yeah, and I forgot to talk about that in part one, because we actually talked to. Because we got in early, being the press, we got in early on Friday, and we were able to kind of, go around all over the place before everybody was let in. And, I got to talk to the guy, I think his name was Mark, like Schumacher or something like that. He was Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice guy, very willing to talk. But man, I mean, those guys.
He was mandated to.
Dude.
He was the XO at the time. So.
Yeah. Well, that's what the guy said behind him. He was like, should Levi come over here? Levi might need to be involved in this. And then there's this guy behind him who's like, well, Levi's gone right now, but you're the XO. You're, you're supreme commander for the day. So, it's just. And for some reason, it sounded like they came from Quebec, too. So, whatever. But man, they take that stuff super seriously.
And for those who don't know, the 501st Legion is originally started out as, some people who made these, mostly stormtrooper outfits.
Right.
And they would do kind of military drills, if you will, and parades and stuff. And, and then it's kind of become much bigger than that. And, it's still mostly stormtrooper outfits and bounty hunter outfits, but you have your Jedis here and there and your Darth Vader and stuff. But they come to these comic cons and they basically take pictures just for donation. It's like it's a $5 suggested donation, and all the proceeds go to something, I don't know, but some charity, and it's very, very. Casual, you go in, get as many pictures as you want, and you don't even have to buy them. If you go and look at the pictures and you don't, they don't make you buy any of the pictures.
Oh, no kidding.
You don't have to pay up front. You only pay if you want the picture.
Right, and the one that they take or something?
The one that they take, yeah. And it's a really, really cool thing, and it's really good for kids, because they can go in and it's a good, they don't have to pay a whole lot of money. Like for the, the celebrities, and they can go in and, to them, a stormtrooper is a celebrity,
Totally.
You know?
I think a stormtrooper is still a celebrity in my book, man.
Those
are my favorite costumes at these things too. Cause I don't know. There's of course that nostalgic, feeling of seeing a stormtrooper walking around or, like a character from Star Wars. There's always a lot of Boba Fetts. So many Boba Fetts walking around.
Yeah, there was a lot of variations on the Mandalorian armor, as it were.
Yes, I even got a card from one of them. And they were like part of the, Mandalorian Brigade or Renegades or something like that.
A subset of the 501st.
Right. But yeah, those guys spend a lot of time on those costumes, man. And probably... a lot of money. We got a couple. Will and I got a couple of pictures around the corner from the 501st. Was a life size and working R2-D2.
Wow,
which was
pretty incredible.
Awesome. That you could just go and sit, like it was sitting over, near this black screen, and you could just walk over to it and take as many pictures as you want.
I saw them wheeling that in this morning.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, and so we were trying to figure out who's controlling it, because at one point I was like, they cannot have a midget inside this thing, and I went up to the eye.
Dear God, please!
I went up to the eye and I tried to look into the eye, because in Star Wars you can see through the eye at one point during one scene, and see the dude's face that's inside, because I'm nerdy, I know that, So I went up to the eye, and it backed up really quick. And Will's like, they've got to have some sort of remote control on this thing. We start looking around. There's this guy standing way over in the corner just you know, controlling R2-D2. But that was really cool. That was a highlight of today. Some other highlights for you guys. What else did you guys see today
The Klingons were exceptional.
The Klingons were pretty good. I thought I was going to see some more Klingons than we did. We only saw two.
Yeah, those guys are there every year. Those two guys.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I know that because I think we have pictures of us with them last year and the year before, and it's definitely the same two guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
But they're good costumes, though.
Oh, yeah, they do a really good job. Yeah, totally, totally.
But, you know, and there's people who I see every year there who's there, and they have the same costume. There's this guy who's always Nick Fury. There's a guy who's always...
I did not see a Nick Fury there today.
Well, there's also this guy. There's this one guy who I see, and he's from my neighborhood, and he's always Deadpool. And there's a guy who's always a Street Fighter character. I can't remember the name of the character, but he has got like blue or orange spiky hair. And, you know, like,
does he say Haruken?
No.
No? Okay.
I know who that character is. But
I thought they kind of all said that. I don't know. Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's kind of fun, you know, in that you think, wow, it probably takes a lot of money to make these costumes, and
it's
probably not worth it just to wear it once.
Yeah, well, that's what we were talking about earlier today, too. It's like, I wonder how much use they get out of
those
things.
Go
well, you know, I was talking to the, we have a picture of the Queen Amidala.
Right, right.
And
oh, man.
I was asking her, I said, you know, how long did it take to make this? And she's like, you know, I bought it from somebody who made it and wore it for the past couple of years. And and they just wanted to, you know, move on to a new costume, I guess. Mm-hmm, and so I bought it ready, you know, ready made.
Yeah. Yeah. And that thing, the headdress that she had on, didn't she say it was like 15 pounds or something like that?
Yeah. I wouldn't doubt it.
Oh man, it was gigantic. And she said it was the most uncomfortable thing to wear. No kidding. Somebody sold it to her and was like ready for something else. We all got to see Shatner today. Right?
Yeah.
That was a huge highlight, right?
Yeah.
And that was another perk of being part of the press, because Will and I kind of flashed our badges when we went down there. I mean, there was just an enormous line to get pictures and signatures from that guy. And we kind of flashed our press badges and got right down in front. And they took us right down there and let us snap some pictures of Mr. Shatner as he came through the curtain, and so that was pretty cool. And how much did you pay to
see?
I'm
not telling you. I will say that you know, he's almost 80. He'll be 80 on March 22nd.
Everybody get ready.
And you know,
get ready for the Shat's birthday.
You know, just have a moment on the 22nd. And you know, he smelled like a grandpa, you know? He just like kind of had a lot of cologne on to cover up the grandpa smell, you know.
Did he smell like Vicks vapor rub?
No,
at all,
just I don't know. He smelled like Old Spice or something. I don't know, but you know, he was sitting down and, you know, very mellow, just you know, hey, nice, you know, nice to meet you. You know, click, take the picture, and, you know, thank you very much. And he kind of poked Jubilee in the belly, and then, you know, we were done.
Yeah, totally.
But I didn't go to his panel, but I heard that it was hilarious. He just was really profane and just did some spoken word. And
so he's actually really taking the character that he plays in Shit My Dad Says to a new level, huh?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, and you were telling me that earlier tonight, too, as we were kind of eating dinner, that he was turning 80 soon, and that blew my mind. Because I have always, like, I mean, I thought he was, like, in his 60s or something like that, like, for some
reason.
Yeah,
you got to think, that show was on in the 1960s.
Right, right. And that, I mean, that didn't, that
and
part
that
didn't
was
click with
like,
me.
That was, like, 50 years ago, you know? That was 50 years ago.
Yeah.
And he was probably, like, 20-something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
And he had been on the Twilight Zone before that, and
right. Well, I didn't think of it in those regards. Okay, I didn't think of that aspect.
You were just,
but I was.
But yeah, it is one of those things immortal. Where you learn that, you know, how old he is.
Right.
It kind of takes you back. Wow, yeah. He's probably not going to be around much longer.
Right. So, yeah, I was glad that we got pictures of him. But I was like, the whole time we were looking at him, I was like, man, he looks bad for 65. but he looks
damn good for 80.
He looks damn good for 80. That's for sure. What were you going to say?
I can't remember. the press pass thing, there was this guy, Max Brooks, who does he wrote a novel that I absolutely love called World War Z.
Oh, right.
Zombie yeah. Wars, and he wrote the Zombie Survival Guide, and he happens to be Mel Brooks' son. Mel Brooks, as in Spaceballs and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And he was doing a panel, so I just and it was closed, and I was bumming out because it was closed, and I remembered.
Oh, yes. Press pass.
Press pass. And so I went in and, you know.
Yeah, these things just came in.
Snapped a couple pictures and, you know, listened to them. And
Yeah.
It was great.
And how was that? Was he just talking about, like, the new.
Basically, no. He was. He talked a little bit about the movie that's going to be. They're trying to work out how to adapt World War Z into a movie, which they're having trouble because without getting too much into it, it would be really hard. I think it would work best as a mini series, mm-hmm. and just because it's mostly interviews. The book is mostly interviews with people recalling events of the zombie war.
Yeah.
But he was talking about that, and then he is basically giving zombie survival tips. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
You know, just and I actually bought his new book, and he signed it, and I asked him, can you give me some, you know, when you sign it, can you give me some, you know, zombie wisdom, you know, how, and he signed it, to Andrew, your brain is your best weapon.
Like a true Brooks.
So, but yeah, it was nice to just, you know, be able to flash the pass and take some notes.
I know. Yeah.
Just take some pictures.
It really came in handy, man. We've got to do this again next year. Definitely. Maybe we'll try to record the show a little bit earlier next year, too, so we're not so goddamn tired by the end of this thing. Because it really is. It takes it out of you. I mean, we're racing all over the place today and just trying to get through the throng of people that are herding through the aisles of the Comic-Con. It's just, man, it's amazing. I was talking about the Suicide Girls a little bit earlier in that really bad story that I told. Do you guys remember that?
I'm trying to forget.
But yes, the Suicide Girls, they are, what would you guys say? Like,
they're a burlesque.
Burlesque kind of thing.
Pin-up girl.
More hipster kind of punk rock themes.
Will Wheaton has a blog tattooed. On their website.
Oh, he does?
Yep.
No kidding. And they started in, like, Portland, right? Is that right?
I cannot say with
I don't know either.
Well, I
certainty.
Think
I think they started somewhere around the Northwest.
Yes. I believe they did start in Portland because we have an interview with them. And now I can't even
And
I
they confirmed that.
Yeah. Totally. Well, I got the chance to talk with these ladies for a little bit, and they were total sweethearts, totally willing to talk about their craft of taking nude photos. And it was kind of weird, like, going up there and talking with them, because at the same time that we were kind of doing this interview, they were signing, they had this big book there that they were signing, and they were all, the girls were all in this book, and they were nude in this book, and they were signing these nude pictures of themselves and, like, you know, handing it to people that were waiting in line and stuff. But I think it turned out kind of interesting, you know, gave a little insight to where these girls are coming from and what they think about what they do and some stalkerish people that sometimes come around.
Yeah.
So here's our interview with the three of the beautiful Suicide Girls at Emerald City Comic Con 2011, and I hope you enjoy it. And we'll be right back.
right, I'm standing here with Lixon, Bella, and Royal from the Suicide Girls here at Comic-Con 2011. Woo! How's it going, ladies?
Awesome. Great. Amazing. Beautiful.
Okay, is this the first Comic-Con that you guys have been associated with, or do you guys usually do stuff like this?
Oh, no, we've done lots and lots.
Really?
All over, not just the Emerald City Comic-Con. We've done one big one down in San Diego, ones all over the country.
Right, okay. And, I mean, do you feel a little weird being here, though?
No way. We feel so at home.
We feel so welcomed here. We have been welcomed with open arms, absolutely.
Well, of course you're welcome. You guys pose nude.
Very true.
I'd like to think it's because we're really good people.
Well, I will say that you're very nice, and you've been very accommodating. You have so many people just walking up and trying to get interviews with you and taking your picture and everything like that. It's really cool that you guys are here.
Yeah, our pleasure.
So where are you guys from originally?
Our website started up in Portland, Oregon, and now we're based in L.A. I personally, Lixon, am from Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
I, Bella, am from Bellevue, Washington.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Local girl?
Local.
Royal, where are you from?
Anchorage, Alaska.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Right on. So, apparently you guys didn't have to come too far to come to the Emerald City Comic-Con.
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
What are your...
Oh, there's a cute dog in a Batman costume. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Today is like the day of just amazing costumes. Cause were you guys here? You guys were here yesterday, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it was a lot less frantic yesterday, right?
A little. Yeah. Saturdays are always the most hectic and fun day, though. We love
right.
them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it seems odd. I mean, there's so many costumes. You have one girl that's dressed up as a sexy Darth Vader.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Is she with you guys?
Absolutely. Okay. She's a babe.
So, okay, let me ask you a couple more on the personal side, the human side questions of the Suicide Girls. So, when you guys first got associated with this, because you do, of course, pose nude for the website, now you guys have, like, books out and everything, things have kind of taken off a little bit for Suicide Girls. Did it ever feel kind of weird to you, or were you always comfortable with something like that?
You know what? I only had one odd experience, and that was a few years ago when I was out with some friends, and I try to keep it as separate as possible, and someone walked up and said, "Oh my gosh, you're Bella Suicide," and I didn't really have that little kind of taste of, you know, of C celebrity or on the D list celebrity, you know, and I was like, oh my goodness, can I get your autograph? And I was like, my friends are cracking up, you know,
oh
and so, but it was a little weird, but it's gotten, I have been a Suicide Girl for quite some time now, and it's gotten comfortable, and I'm proud to be a Suicide Girl because it really does embrace individuality and natural beauty, and I'm proud to say that I'm a Suicide Girl today.
I think you have to be comfortable with yourself in order to even think about posing nude on the internet anyways, so
there's
a certain degree of that.
Yeah, totally. So have you two ever had anything like that where somebody has actually recognized you and come up to you?
My fans are the best. There's a lot that are so shy, and I can really relate to that. This has helped me be a lot more outgoing, but I get a lot of messages on the website saying, "I saw you downtown today,
I get that. I get the aftermath, like, "I saw you walking down the street wearing this outfit." Like, whoa.
But I was too
Next
shy to
time,
say hello.
Come up and say hello.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You actually, like, really? You, like,
as long as
you
I'm not with, like, my
in...
mom or something, that might be a little weird,
yeah.
but...
Yeah. I would imagine.
It doesn't freak me out at all. Like, I don't know, all the members or anybody that has been associated with Suicide Girls have all been like-minded people, so I consider them my friends. It's weird. I'm posing nude, but it's not taboo, really. It's just part of who I am. So, yeah, of course, come up and say hi to me, you know?
And I love that feedback, too. You know, I love hearing, "I loved this set, and this one's my favorite," or...
I'm not flattered by that.
I had a guy that I was dating a little while ago say, "You know what? I didn't want to tell you this, but like 5 years ago, I had you as my screensaver."
I love it.
And I was like, "Yay!" It kind of made me feel good, you know. So yeah.
Right. And so, I I mean, that surprises me a little bit, that you wouldn't be a little bit weirded out by it. Like, I mean, I guess, like, what you were saying, Royal, is that, you know, everybody that kind of comes to the website is like-minded people. They're not... I guess what I'm going into is, like, have you ever had an instance where somebody has kind of gotten a little bit too much?
We do have our creepers, do we not?
They're very well-intentioned creepers.
Yes, they mean well, I've had a couple, that have shown up at conventions.
They're just folks that they're a little bit too enthusiastic, that's all, honestly.
Right, or they're like nervous or something like that, yeah, coming up to you and
really
kind of putting on the wrong vibe.
So it's nothing negative.
Yeah.
I have had somebody who recognized me at my old job, and it made me a little uncomfortable because I didn't want everybody to know at my day job that I am dude on the internet.
Right,
if they find
right.
out, they can know, but you know, let's keep our personal boundaries.
Right, let's keep that a little bit of a secret, right?
Yeah.
Need to know basis. right. So what's up next for you guys? You guys have this book that's available. Do you want to speak a little bit about that really quick?
And Suicide Girls Beauty Redefined. It's about 400 pages of a good majority of our models, just a whole bunch of babesicles, I'm saying.
Babesicles?
Yeah.
Are you guys all featured in the book?
I am. Yeah, Bella, I am.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we are, aren't we?
Royal, you're in the book.
I'm in the book.
In the book as well. Lixon, I'm there. So from here, I mean, we've only got we're working on a TV show right now, a reality show. There's a comic book in the works. All kinds of great things. So
right, a TV show.
Yeah.
Like reality.
We're keeping a hush hush for right now, but
you can't talk about it at all.
It's being filmed.
Come on, this is airraid.net. It's like your favorite.
I know.
Ever now.
I will tell you, it's featuring a lot of the LA girls. It follows, some of the episodes follow the process of one of the girls applying and becoming a suicide girl and shooting her first photo sets.
Okay. Is Charlie Sheen involved at all?
He's winning. We do the whole thing.
He's winning. He's got tiger blood. Watch out.
Yeah, right?
He's going to be the new bipolar face of Suicide Girls.
Yes.
That's good.
We're actually removing the logo, and it's just going to be him like this.
Showing his, like, crack teeth.
We're changing
right?
Yeah, S is going to be for Sheen. Sheen girls.
Sheen girls?
Oh, no.
Right.
Well,
right.
No. What
oh,
is it?
Boy.
The Glamazon. What does he call those girls? I don't remember.
No, the goddesses.
The goddesses.
The two goddesses, right.
Yeah, the Sheen
right.
goddesses.
Boy.
No.
Beautiful and witty. So I have to ask you, because we just went to this press breakfast this morning. I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about this, but you guys were hanging out with Norman Reedus last night, right?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Somebody lit a cigarette, got kicked out of a hotel room, apparently.
No comment.
I don't smoke in hotel rooms and then tell.
Royal looks like she wants to say something. Come on, Royal.
If I could remember, I'd give you the whole story.
She's a little tight-lipped.
Yeah, I love it. Well, thank you, ladies, so much.
Our pleasure.
And it's been a pleasure meeting you. And have a great... You guys are here for all 3 days?
Yeah,
sure okay. are.
So if you see some guy, like, returning a whole bunch of time, that's just me. Maybe I'll take my glasses off and...
Come mix things up a bit.
Come get a can we get a?
Are
can we get
a Batman costume tomorrow?
I will come in a Batman costume for you.
Thank you.
Right. My wife's not going to be happy about it, but I'll do it anyway. Thank you, ladies, so much. I really appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely, it was lovely meeting you.
We're back. I hope you enjoyed that interview. That was nice. What'd you think, Andrew?
Boy, if I would have heard it, it would have been amazing.
Will's about to fall asleep over here. So, but Andrew, you were kind of, I mean, you went all out for this thing, man. You got a bunch of interviews. And I think what we're going to do is we're going to put a bunch of these interviews onto a bonus episode, because I interviewed the Rat City Roller Girls and that was a pretty cool one. And we're going to put that one along with some of maybe the interview that I did with the 501st, the Darth Vader guy from the 501st, and then some of these other interviews that Andrew did. And why don't you tell us a little bit about this, because you went all over the place and talked to all sorts of people.
Well, I had this – I kind of had some people that I definitely wanted to talk to. And,
they you used this as kind of like an avenue to like –
They wouldn't talk to me. So I had I had this – you know, I wanted to get interviews with some of the bigger comic book names. And yeah, one guy just flat out didn't show up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, did you have something scheduled, or
no? He just didn't show up to the convention.
Oh, okay.
So he had this nice table there with his name on it, and nothing. Unless he's only appearing tomorrow, which would seem weird,
right?
But so I kind of decided to just start walking around and seeing some of the more interesting stuff, you know, the more avant-garde kind of things, and so. I have a few people I'd like to talk about. One person named Nate Simpson, who has a book coming out called Non-Player on April 6th or April 9th, something along those lines. It's for Image Comics. And he, you know, I asked him what it was about, and it's about a tamale delivery girl in the future who plays a massive multi-online game similar like World of Warcraft or something.
Yeah.
And all of the non-playable characters in the game become sentient and decide that they don't like being hunted anymore and are starting to hunt the people who play the game to try and kill them so they can't, you know. So it sounds very weird and... But the artwork, he had some sample artwork, and it looked just beautiful, incredible. So
were the tamales really?
I didn't see any pictures of the tamales.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. So there was that, and then there was a guy named Micatron. I don't know his real name. So and he had these drawings that were, well, you know, I kind of thought they were kind of this like pretty. Or kidsy violence, and he called it cute violence. But he had
kinda
pictures
like,
of like
kind of like Charlie Sheen loving violently,
right? Yeah. And we were talking about how, you know, he was really influenced by Ren and Stimpy and that kind of stuff,
right?
But he had these great drawings of like a. This dragon, there's this dragon, and there's a village on fire behind him. But instead of the fire coming out of the dragon's mouth, it's like coming out of his ass. But it's all cartoony and cutesy, like a kid's drawing.
Right, yeah.
So, and his stuff's available at micatron.com.
Nice.
And then, let's see, who else? There was... one of my favorites was this guy, Alexis Fajardo, but he does a series called Kid Beowulf, and it's Beowulf and Grendel as 12-year-old brothers. And the first book kind of just deals with how Grendel and Beowulf are related, and they kind of have this sibling rivalry thing going. Right. And then the second one...
Now, Grendel, just to refresh my memory, because like I saw the animated movie Beowulf. Right. Grendel's like the big monster.
Grendel is
guy, right?
He's the monster that Beowulf fights actually near the beginning of the poem. Well, not near the beginning, but in the first. I don't know, the first third of the poem.
Okay.
And then Beowulf. Sleeps with Grendel's mother, and then
and then they have that
so
kid weirdo
the dragon
thing.
It's a dragon,
yeah,
and so that so I don't know how he explains how Grendel and Beowulf are brothers, but so the first book kind of deals with that, and then as the books progress, they travel throughout different European folk stories. So the next one is they go to France, and it's Kid Beowulf and the Song of Roland. And then the third one, which hasn't come out yet, is Kid Beowulf versus El Cid, and so it's in Spain. And he has something like 16 or 17 planned.
Uh-huh.
And it's...
What's he on right now? How many does he have finished?
The third one.
Oh, okay.
So we'll see. Yeah, but, and he wants them to age as it goes on, and then his plan is when the last, as the last book ends, the poem Beowulf begins.
Okay.
So, but gotcha. An interesting thing is that his publisher's name, this isn't really interesting, but funny.
It better be better than my story that we started out with.
His publisher's name is Bo Johnson, and he was there, and I kept calling him Bo Jackson. Because
did he notice?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. So then there's this guy named Keith Knight, who actually has a comic strip that was in the Seattle Times up until a couple months ago, I guess.
Oh, really?
He's trying to get it put back in, but it's kind of a funny... it's a comic strip. It's a daily comic strip. He does nine a week, I guess, which is, you know, more. He tries to be ahead of stuff. But
yeah.
He's been doing it for 20 years, and he's got a kchronicles.com, K, the letter K, and then chronicles.com. And he's been doing it for 20 years, and he does writer's workshops and drawing workshops for kids, you know.
Oh, cool. And he's based
in Seattle,
yeah.
And so he's very active in trying to cultivate artistic desires and whatnot in kids and whatnot.
Excellent.
So I talked to him, and then one more. This guy Chris Halbeck does a thing called The Book of Biff, and it's a single panel comic. Deals with this character Biff, who never speaks, but then just
I've seen this one before,
but
yeah.
You know, just kind of, it's, you know, in the same vein as, you know, Farsight or whatever, but it's deals with this same character every time. He never speaks, and it's definitely the humor is a bit it's weird. It's definitely weird. There is one. I'm probably
weirder than Farsight?
Well, it's just weird in a different way. I'm not going to do this justice, I don't think, but there's one where he's sitting in his bath. He's just sitting in his bath, and there's this sponge kind of on an altar above the thing, and it's just, it's a, you know, Biff, once a week, Biff sacrificed a sponge to the Kraken or something like that, and... You know, or just weird stuff, or, you know, he's hanging upside down on off of a rope in a tree, and there's a bowl of spaghetti, you know. So, like, on second thought, Biff agrees that a plate of spaghetti in the middle of the woods was pretty suspicious. And so,
it's entertaining because it's so weird.
Yeah, it's just odd. It's just really odd. So,
now you lost. You kind of
lost a couple.
You
interviews
lost a couple
too.
Interviews too, right?
Yeah, and so the big one that I lost was with the guy who does Axe Cop.
Tell us about this a little bit, because this is a pretty cool story.
Axe Cop is a story about a cop who carries an axe and who is out to defeat a gang of dinosaurs. And if it sounds like it was written by a 6-year-old, it's because it was. This guy.
These guys are what? With
Dark
brother.
Horse? They're with Dark Horse. And
Dark
so this
Horse?
Guy this
big,
guy was
big
a
big comic book company.
Yeah, and this guy was the older brother. His name is escaping me, but he's an artist, and his younger brother, Malachi, is at the time was 5 years old. Now he's 6 or 7. And you know, they just he just realized that his brother had all these great ideas. And so he decided to, you know, it's like...
His five-year-old brother
had these great ideas for a comic book.
Yeah,
and so he just started drawing him and animating him. And so it's a book drawn by a 29-year-old and written by a 5-year-old. And it's it's amazing. And they
were... Like, you were saying there's points in the book where it's like the cop with an axe is like riding a Tyrannosaurus Rex or something.
Yeah,
like that.
With Gatling guns for arms.
Yeah, and they fight like other gangs of like dinosaurs.
Yeah,
and stuff.
And it's great. There's one. It's like axe cop with lemon, and there's just a lemon on the axe, and it's just funny, weird, you know, just weird stuff.
Like the lemon is his sidekick.
Yeah, and it's just great.
Wow.
And so I was able to talk to them. Well, the older brother, they were very guarded with the young one, and he was only there for, you know, 30 minutes at a time.
And we've got a picture of them up on the
autographing
Facebook.
Some stuff. So yeah. And then
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's this interview that we're going to hear now? With Andrew and a woman by the name of Elizabeth Guizzetti?
Guizzetti. Yeah. She does a comic called Out for Souls and Cookies, and I'll let her explain everything about it. But
all right.
She was a fine artist, went to school for, you know, fine art, and was doing, you know, doing commissions for murals and babies' rooms and stuff like that, and just had this... had these ideas for more fantasy driven comic book stuff and kind of got into that and was doing a book called Famine Lands, which is apparently really dark, and she just needed something a little more lighthearted, and so that's where Out for Souls and Cookies came along.
Cool.
So
all right, well, this is Andrew's interview with Elizabeth Guizzetti. Is that how you say it?
That's how she pronounced it. So
okay,
I'm assuming she pronounced her name right.
You'd hope so. Will, anything you want to add to that? Okay. All right. We'll be right back. What was that you just said?
Souls and Cookies.
Yes.
And can you tell us a little bit about what it's about?
Out for Souls and Cookies is the story of two demons, and they would like to retire, but as you may or may not know, hell has no retirement plan. And so they dress up like little dogs and move to Seattle, where people take care of them, the lifestyle they've become accustomed.
Wow. And so what was the inspiration for this?
I have two little dogs, and I'm pretty sure this is a true story. It is.
Great. And so you're a local artist, correct?
Yes, I actually live in downtown Seattle, about a mile away from the convention center.
So this is very, very conveniently located for you. So when did the first issue come out?
The first issue came out in Emerald City 09. And actually, the reason why I wrote it is because I finished my other title, which is much darker, and I just wanted some comedy. And so my next issue ended up being this totally different thing that I wasn't expecting.
Great. And you have two issues out now that are for sale here, and you have a third issue coming out. And how long is this going to be? Is it going to be – do you have an ending in mind, or is it just kind of going to keep going to see where it goes?
Okay, well, we actually have a four-issue schedule plus one Christmas special because, honestly, this needs a Christmas special.
Right. If anything did.
Exactly. So what we're going to have is in 6 weeks, issue 3 will be coming out. And then we don't have a release date for issue 4, but it'll probably be – these come out once a year, so it'll probably be issue 4 in a year. But we are hoping to have the Christmas special out at Jet City – year, 2011.
Great. And so you were saying that your previous work was kind of a darker thing. And so what is the inspiration for you? What are the things that have inspired you to get involved doing this?
Well, honestly, it sort of just started. I really had no idea what I was doing. Basically, I was a fine artist before this. I did baby room murals and things like that. And I just got a little bit tired about doing that. And then so what, I had this idea for a story about these two elves, because I'll admit it, I was playing a little D&D at the time. And I'm like, this would be so much fun. I love this relationship that is developing between these two D&D characters. And I want to write a relationship about a relationship like this. And so, but I knew I wanted it to be fantasy, and I knew I wanted it to be elves, and so that's what I wrote about. The other title, I knew it was going to be very dark, and so, which is, it is, it's called Famine Lands, and so that's certainly a dark work. And then with Out Bristles and Cookies, what happened was I needed, like I said, I needed something a little bit lighter, but I have two dogs, and they look, strangely enough, like the dogs on the cover of Out Bristles and Cookies, and if you read through the entire series, you notice little things that the characters are doing. My dogs really do. They really do have a stuffed squirrel. My dog Tycho is really like obsessed with this orange ball that you can put little cookies in. And so you definitely see that in the characters.
Great. And you're the artist and writer, colors, everything?
I'm everything, except I do have an editor and a production assistant, and that's Maria.
Great. And I talked to her earlier, and wow, this is just such a unique work. I think it's really, really awesome. Where is it available?
It's just available at almost any local convention, as well as my website, www.outforsoulsandcookies.com, all written out.
Fantastic. Great. Well, thank you very much. Like I said, I'm kind of walking around looking for the really unique, interesting stuff. So this definitely caught my eye, and I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you very much.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Well, the last part of this episode, I accidentally erased, and I cannot find it. It is no longer here. Constant learning experience for me on this podcast here. Anyway, there you go. There's episode 38 for you. And I hope you come back for 39. We have the Stack of Dimes is going to be joining us next week for episode 39. JD and Thunder, the hosts of a very, very good podcast here in Seattle, are going to be joining me here in the dining room studios next weekend. And I think we're going to be talking about fast food and campy movies, two of their favorite subjects and two of mine. Actually, so anyway, I hope you enjoyed this. I sure did. Listening back to it, it didn't actually sound as bad as I thought it was going to be, so that's a really good thing, right? And I tried to find that missing segment that I had for the end of the episode, and I don't know where it is, man. I have no idea where it is. So if you hear something in there that's kind of, that doesn't belong, that's the missing segment. And maybe you'll get a prize. I don't know. Remember, everybody, you can email me, Aaron, at air-raid.net. That's air-raid.net.
There's been some confusion with that as of late, and Mr. Sean DeTore was nice enough to point that out last night, too, when I was on his podcast. And maybe I should explain it a little bit, but airraid.net, airraid.com, everything was already taken, and I didn't feel like, paying somebody for it, so I chose the next one on the list, which was air-raid.net. So there you go. That's the explanation. Anyway, I hope you guys all have a great week. We love hearing from you. We love getting those awesome iTunes reviews from you. So keep those coming, man, because it really helps us out in the long run, helps us get new and great guests on the show. Like Eric Axelson of the Dismemberment Plan. By the way, we went and saw Dismemberment Plan last night at the Showbox Soto here in Seattle, and it was an awesome show. It was an awesome show. I was so thrilled to actually be able to see them live for the first time, maybe the last time. I don't know. Hopefully they do another reunion kind of small tour again sometime. And remember, you can check that episode out. That was episode 36 of the Air Raid podcast, The Dismemberment Plan. Great, great guy. And we were sitting there last night watching the show, and I realized that I have his phone number, Eric Axelson, the bass player, in my phone. And I debated whether or not I should call him and offer to buy him a drink after the show. But alas, I did not. Probably not a great idea to do something like that when you're part of the fake press. Anyway, you guys all have a great weekend, a great week. Everything that goes along with that, I hope all is well in your world. And maybe you can hope all is well in mine as well. Have a great week, everybody. I don't have anything queued up, so maybe we'll just go random.